You are listening to Absent Minded, brought to you by HabsEyesOnThePrize.com. Hello and welcome to Absent Minded. My name is Jared Buck, and we're going to start talking about the Tampa Bay Lightning. There's recent events that make the Lightning one of the more interesting previews that we're going to be doing. Joining me today is Justin Godfrey, the managing editor at Raw Charge, who is the Lightning site at our For Hockey Fans network. Justin, how are you?
Good. How are you doing today, Jared?
I'm good. Thank you for asking. And I hate to do this to you, but I'm going to have to start asking about the goaltending situation in Tampa. Obviously, it's a position that hasn't had to be thought about very much in recent years. But for the first 2 months of the season, there's a big question mark there.
Yeah. And it's the number one question on everybody's mind. You know, I thought I'd be a good writer and get everything done early. So I did my season preview about 2 weeks ago, ended up scrapping that because when your, Vezina winning all world goalie gets hurt for 2 months, it really changes the way at least the beginning of the season looks. And so right now it looks like the duo is going to be Jonas Johansson and Matt Tompkins, who combined for, I believe, a grand total of 5 NHL games of experience. It was going to be a questionable season to begin with, just with some of the other losses that they've had on the roster. And now taking Andre Vasilevsky out of the deal, just kind of makes that a bigger question. Because I know the Lightning were really, really looking forward to starting off the season strong. I think they kind of thought last year, they got behind the eight ball a little bit last year and we're chasing things. It definitely makes for an interesting October and November.
Yeah, and let's face it, the Lightning are not strangers of, big players getting hurt before a season starts. I mean, there's been Stamkos has been out for a long time, Kucherov obviously as well. But it's a little bit different a goalie because you can't ask Braden Point to just step up and other guys to step up. It's really coming down to who you have on the roster, and the backup goalie in Tampa Bay has not really been much of a prized position, I would say. I mean, it's more of where can we get somebody who will help us on the cap more than who will actually someone who's actually going to be asked to play many games. So what's kind of the thinking there? The conventional wisdom is that they're going to go out and get somebody else, but is that the feeling that you get?
I think Julian Briezma is kind of keeping an eye on the waiver wire. I don't know if he's willing to part with any assets as far as a trade for a goalie that, chances are by mid-November probably mid-December, he's got a waive. So I think he's kind of keeping an eye, see what's going on with some of the other teams may be doing. He says he's good to go with the goaltending that he has right now. And it was kind of a, signing Johansson in the first place was kind of an interesting move this summer, just because in the past, like you said, they've kind of just gone out, grabbed a veteran, Brian Elliott, Curtis McElhinney, just someone who's willing to play for the league minimum, suit up for 20 games or so and just give the team a chance to win. They went out and got Johansson as a free agent, a little bit of a younger guy. I think he's 28, has a lot of potential, would never really seem to put it together with Colorado. So when they signed it, kind of raised some eyebrows as, why are they going with this younger guy? And I think we kind of see why. This issue that Vasilevsky's deal with, while they haven't come out and said it, I think he hasn't been right since the middle of last year. He mentioned it in his exit interview after the season that his body kind of let him down and he had some issues with rehabbing. So I do think this was always, while not the number one thing that could have happened, was something that Julian Briezma was kind of keeping an eye out for. They don't have a lot of goalies in their system that are NHL ready. Their number one prospects, Hugo Almefelt, who's probably about 2 years away from being an NHL level goalie. So, signing Johansson, Tompkins was brought in actually to kind of partner with Onufelt down in Syracuse. So that was kind of the original plan, is hey, we'll bring in this veteran from Europe, could split time with the young kid till Onufelt traded back up Vasilevskiy. Then it gets all blown out of the water. Some fans wanted Onufelt to be the backup, but I think it's better for him to be getting ice time down in Syracuse as opposed to sitting on a bench in Tampa. So overall, it's not where they want to be, but yeah, it's going to be interesting. I think in October they can ride Johansson pretty much most of the games. I was looking at the schedule; it's kind of a light schedule to start off the season, not too many back-to-backs or anything. So I think we'll just be seeing a lot of him. Hopefully, he can come through. He's done everything they've asked in the preseason. He's made two starts and hasn't let up a goal yet. So I don't think you can get any better than that to start off your career, and just hopefully he can carry it over into the regular season when you start next week.
And I guess the Lightning are so used to success, and have a group of forwards and defenders that are just kind of, okay, we'll take this on ourselves. Like they it's almost like a challenge, a little bit. So I think where, maybe he gives up, maybe on average a goal, even a goal more on average than Vasilevskiy, and the team will work to try and cover that up in other ways, either in what they do. And it's going to be very interesting though, because it's a kind of adversity. Because even when they had the adversity in the past, it's like, oh well, the Vasilevskiy will just be back there and we'll be okay. So it's a little bit different of a bit of adversity, but it's going to be interesting. And back to your point about when lingering injuries, Montreal has not had three Stanley Cup runs, but they've had one Stanley Cup final run, and they lost basically three players from that, who have barely played or never will play again.
Right.
After that one single run. So I can see how maybe multiple playoff runs can make a difference on someone's body, even though last year itself was maybe not as deep as they would have liked. But I guess let's move on to that. What are the expectations? I mean, Tampa Bay is a perennial contender. They made it to three straight Stanley Cup finals. What is kind of the expectation after last year? Is the expectation to get back into to the second round? Obviously, the playoffs are kind of a low bar, but what's kind of the expectations going into what should be another playoff appearance?
Yeah, I would say they're probably, looking at it, probably a second, third round kind of team. I know if you ask the coaching staff and the owners, their regular season goals always make the playoffs, go from there. I don't think they're in that top elite kind of level anymore. Maybe a step below that, where they do still have Stanley Cup aspirations. They still have the talent on the team to be one of the best teams in the East. But yeah, I don't think you're going to pencil them into the Eastern Conference final this year, especially with the way the division's going to be. I think our division right now is going to be one of the toughest ones. Even the teams that have struggled over the last few years have a lot of young talent. I think the gap between the top and the bottom has narrowed quite a bit. I probably put Toronto at the top right now. Tampa, Boston, second, and then pretty much everybody else battling out for the last couple of wild card spots. But yeah, so I'm thinking, definitely a playoff team, should compete pretty well in the first round. Looking at the second round, anything above that, I think would be a bit of a bonus this year, honestly. Just with how tough the East is in general and the Atlantic is in specific, so.
Yeah, it's interesting because there's only so much room for improvement for the top of the division, right? Like there's only so much that the Tampas and the Torontos and even Florida to a certain extent can improve. And then you have these teams like the Ottawas and Buffalo and Detroits that are getting better every year just because of their young players. And Boston obviously had their big losses at center, and they're kind of in between the two, and it's going to be fascinating. I say this to everybody that is come on, that as a person who follows the Canadians, just kind of sit back and watch the battle royale at the, in front of us, and then kind of just adjust from there. But without having any pressure, because I think you really do have like seven teams that expect to make the playoffs, and obviously not all seven will be able to make the playoffs, and it'll be very, very interesting. There's so much familiarity, I think, with this Tampa team, because it's the same people that are the core of this team, and even the younger guys have become established and into that core as well. What's the feeling among the fan base with in terms of Steven Stamkos's comments? Because obviously it's a guy who's been around for a while, obviously on the back nine of his career. Not the same situation he was in the last time he was a pending unrestricted free agent for obvious reasons. But what's kind of the feeling of the fan base? Like, did they sense, did he understand his frustration, and then, but understand not giving him a long-term deal? Like, what's kind of the feeling surrounding that?
I mean, you never want to see your captain, say things about, not really being in communication with the GM, and that's never a great sign. But at the same time, like you said, it's hard. I see both sides of the story. Stamkos, for all he's done with this for this franchise, I mean, he is. I mean, when you talk about the face of a franchise, and not just currently, but for the entire 30 years they've been on the ice, it's Steven Stamkos. And he's not done playing. I mean, he's been productive in the last 2, 3 years. I mean, he's been more than productive. He's been over a point a game player, scoring 30 goals with no problem at all. So he knows he still has, a few years left in him, and he's not going to play for the minimum. He wants to be rewarded for what he's doing. But at the same time, Julian Brisebois got, he had other things kind of on the plate. They had to get Brandon Hagel locked up, which he managed to do. Had to figure out the Tanner Janot situation, which is their biggest RFA, which he did. And then just not knowing what the salary cap was going to be that next year. You can't just be like, all right, Steven, here's $7 million a year for 5 years. But it's, next year it's going to cost us two key pieces, and you're going to be playing on a, a mid-range team. I do think they're going to get it worked out. I think he's going to stay in Tampa. I don't see him signing with anybody else, really. And it's just a matter of we're starting to get the idea of where the cap's going to be, who the Lightning are going to have next year. There's going to be some contract stuff freeing up a little bit. So I think probably sometime January, February, they announce an extension, and he sticks around for another 3 or 4 years, gets to the 600 goal plateau, a couple more milestones to chalk off on his Hall of Fame career. So it was one of those summer stories where if he had said it in, February, probably not as big a deal, but since nothing else was going on, kind of got
Yeah,
blown up a little bit,
opening of training camp. Opening of training
opening a
camp.
training camp. Star center doesn't want, the captain doesn't know where he's playing next year. So yeah. So but yeah, it made some waves, but I think a lot of people understand where both sides are coming from. So it's like you said, it's nowhere near what Stammergeddon was, eight years ago when you got Canadian Tire, offering him sponsorship deals, and oh my God, he's going to go play for the Maple Leafs. It's going to be horrible. So, yeah, I think they worked it out, and everything's fantastic. So,
Yeah, it's I don't think we're gonna have to wait till June for the resolution of this
no,
one.
it'll be, yeah. So.
And yeah, like you said, I understand where he's coming from, and I understand where the team is coming from. It's like, listen, we have things to take care of. You're not, he's probably gonna take a pay cut. I don't see him getting, the same amount or even, the same percentage on the cap, obviously.
It's
So yeah,
probably
it's
somewhere around like what Malkin signed for last year, I think is a good kind of, gauge of where what his deal may be. So, somewhere $7, $8 million, it's gonna be fine.
yeah. And
It'll be all right.
the shorter deal, the higher you can put the cap hit too, because it
Yeah,
doesn't
yeah.
really, you don't have to balance around that much. I want to ask about someone that Canadians fans know pretty well, and that's Mikhail Sergachev. He's entering the first season of his new contract. as the highest paid defender on this team. Obviously, he signed the contract in a different landscape than Victor Hedman did. But what are kind of the expectations on him? Like, is he the guy that you can build the future of the defense around? Is that the expectation? Or is it someone that you're gonna have to, piece other people in and kind of find someone to join him on that defense?
I think he is going to be the cornerstone of the defense moving forward. Hedman, I believe, has 2 years left on his deal. And is kind of, I think we're kind of at that phase where they're kind of 1A and 1B as far as how they're going to be used this year. The torch is kind of being passed a little bit. Hedman, I think, was dealing with some nagging injuries, didn't have the greatest year last year, but Sergachev really stepped up. He almost doubled his offensive production. He saw pretty much the majority of the season as the number one option on the power play back at the point, kind of taking Edmund's role from that. And he just, some of his defensive reads just got a lot better than what we had seen over the first few years of his career. I think he made a huge step into kind of taking that number one role. And, this year, I think you're going to see even more of it as far as him still being, the number one guy on the power play, quarterbacking that. Fans have kind of a weird relationship with him because it seems like every mistake he ever makes on the ice ends up in the back of the net. And he'll still make some just wildly bad passes in his own zone, basically on the stick to, an opposing forward right in the middle of the net. He's done that 2 or 3 times, and it's just like, wow, not even sure what you were looking at there, Mikel, but whatever. But then he'll, spend the rest of the game playing 26 minutes of really solid lockdown defense. And he's gotten better at shutting plays off as they come into the zone. Like I said, reading the plays, he's really picked up. So the defensive side of his game, he's worked really hard at over the last couple of years to improve. And he's always going to have that offensive flair. I think he changed his stick last year. He said was part of the reason why he started to shoot a little bit better, get a little more shots on net, ended up with 10 goals, which ties his career high. And so, yeah, he's going to be, I think, in 2 years, he's going to be the undisputed number one guy on the defense in Tampa.
How long do you think, and the fans think, that this window will last, right? Because Sergachev's only 25, Brayden Point's 27, but then you have Kucherov, who's 30. You mentioned Stamkos at 33. Even a guy like Cirelli, who I think is one of like the new guys, is 26. There's no first round picks till 2026, for obvious reasons. The Hagel trade, the Janot trade. How long is this window realistically open, and what's kind of the next stage like? Or are people not really thinking about that yet? They're just riding the wave that the Lightning are on right now.
I think we're still kind of riding that wave. I used to be a prospects guy, big, you got to hold on to your first round picks. You got to draft well. And now it's like, you know what? You only get so many shots at winning the title. If Breezeball wants to trade the next 6 first round picks, go ahead. Just do what you got to do to keep this window open. And personally, I've always believed as long as Vasilevskiy is a top tier goalie, they have a shot at winning the cup. It's going to be interesting to see how the transition goes once, I would say, Stamkos and Hedman, decide to hang up. Honestly, I think Hedman could play until he's probably 45. He's just a bigger version of Nick Lidstrom. So as long as he stays healthy, he can skate forever, do what he wants to do till, like I said, he decides to leave. Stamkos, probably a little bit shorter window. Kucherov, again, probably could play forever if he wanted to. He's just so smooth when he's on his game. It's always been a question of who are going to be the next, top line players for him. And that's kind of where the issue is going to be, is they can churn out these middle six, bottom six forwards all day long, the Anthony Cirellis, the Ross Coltons. But when you start losing that high-end talent, that's when I think the window truly, truly starts to close. Because then you just can't keep up with the offenses of Toronto and Colorado and the other elite teams. So I would say this current version of the team probably got 2 or 3 more solid years, and then depending on how Breezeball manages the transfer of talent, They're really good at finding small pieces. Nobody expected Hagel to put up 30, 35 goals. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes from there, you know.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting because I mean, there's always a sense to plan for the future, but I mean, unless you're going to draft another Kucherov or Stamkos or Point, then what's the point of holding on to those picks when you already have those players? It's just
Exactly.
kind of.
Yeah, and that's kind of the thing is like, you know, whenever the trade deadline rolls around, people are like, oh, they need to get this, that, and you know, the other. Like, where's Patrick Kane gonna fit on the Lightning? Are you gonna put him on the top two lines? Probably not. So, you know, at this point they don't need it. They will in the future, and they're kind of hoping a couple of their prospects like Ethan Gauthier or Isaac Howard can kind of eventually merge into that role. But again, you're looking at 3, 4 years down the road. You know, they still got time to develop, but it's going to be interesting. You know, once Stamkos steps away, I think it's going to be the big transition for the team. Just because now you're looking at who's the next leader, you know, who's your next top power play guy, things like that. So, but hopefully that's, you know, something to worry about in 2029 or something like that.
Yeah, just kick it, keep kicking the can down the road. Go to the
Exactly.
playoffs a few more times, and by then, you know, who knows if Breezeball's even still around, and
Exactly. Yeah, and that's what I've always loved about, you know, people criticizing GMs for trading, you know, future assets. It's like, yeah, but by the time it blows up, they're going to be long gone anyway. So, you know, you'll be off running the Canadians or something like
Yeah,
that by then.
exactly. Like it's always funny because even Montreal and they're still, you know, smack in the middle of a rebuild. They already have the GM being like, you know, why would I collect 18-year-olds? You know, like we need more, you know, 21, 22-year-olds. I might as well trade my picks for those guys than just, you know, collecting guys for down the road. And even Montreal, I mean, most of the prospects that are in the organization now were collected by Marc Bergevin, who was fired right as the rebuild started in earnest. So it's just, yeah, it's always interesting to see the GMs get criticized because in the end, it's not really their problem. If Tampa Bay starts losing a lot, guess what? He's not going to have to stick around anyway. If
And
that 2025 first rounder is really high, then guess what? He's probably not going to be around very much. So it's always a catch 22. But yeah, I mean, when you have a group of players as strong as you have, as Tampa has, it's kind of where Chicago and those teams got into trouble is that they started overpaying for like that second tier of player, and you know, getting into cap space. But the cap is going up. It's a different scenario, and the players are different too. Like you mentioned, a bunch of players that you know could play, you know, long term, and I think that's true. And you know, they still have nobody on the roster. Like, you know, the only players over 32 are Stamkos and Glendening, who so you know it's not like they're all on the other side of 30. It's, you know, there's still a lot of players in their upper 20s, and you know, you still have a good 5, 6 years at least of production out of those guys. So it's not as dire. I know when the Hagel contract came, I was like, ooh, I don't know about that, but looking at their roster now, it's like no, they still have like a good 3, 4 years of their core players still here. Like it's not that dire. Just the familiarity of the names, just we see them all the time. They must be really old, and they're really not.
That's, you know, that's kind of, yeah, like you said with Cirelli, it's one, it's like, oh yeah, you know, it's he you still think of him as a young kid, and it's like, no, he's been around for a while. So and then there was a little bit of a focus, you know, they did cut out some of the, you know, they had Corey Perry, they had Pat Maroon, Pierre-Edouard Bellemare, you know, the last couple of years, and they did let him go this year, and the Connor Sheary's and Tyler Motz that they brought in are a little bit younger, so he did kind of focus on adding a little more speed to the forward units. That, I mean, the fourth line, as great as they were in 2019-20, yeah, the first run, you know, last year, or yeah, sorry, 2020 and 2021 is when that school bus line kind of came together with Maroon, Bellemare, and Perry. They were really good that year, but last year they just looked so slow on the ice when they were out there, and you just can't have that in today's game. even your fourth line has to be able to move, has to be able to forecheck. And so, getting Glendening, getting Sheary, Tyler Mott, those guys are going to really help them out when the Stars aren't on the ice. Just tilt the ice back down, keep it out of their own zone. And kind of, yeah. So that's, I think that's kind of what the philosophy was this year, is get a little bit younger, get a little bit faster, so you can compete with Toronto when they're running their three or four lines out there at you all day long. So it was, and that helps, extend that window out a little bit more.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you can get a revolving door of 27, 28-year-olds, it's very easy to keep that window open. If you can get the depth to help you out in those ways. And Hagel and Janot are pretty much examples of that, right? They're a little bit older, like they traded for them, but they're not like your typical rental player. At the trade deadline, like they're on the younger side. They have team control, in both cases, and then they were able to extend, assign Janot as an RFA, and then extend Hagel as well. So yeah, you can definitely see that process is built around keeping the team competitive, kind of a more of a Pittsburgh model, of just trying to keep it as competitive as possible. But obviously, a lot more than just the two, three guys that Pittsburgh has in Tampa. There's a lot more, especially the goalie, right? I think that's the biggest difference, is that Pittsburgh never really had that goalie after Marc-Andre Fleury, and they would get hot and then not hot, and then they're still kind of looking to fix that around. So yeah, it's definitely everything about the Lightning organization has been like kind of like a more modern, refined version of what came before it. And I think even the back end of this contention window is different than the Chicago's and the Pittsburgh and even the Washington's. Like it's just a different feel, and it's more developed. And I think a lot of that is because they had so much depth that they were able to trade. You think about all the players that have gone through Tampa, who are elsewhere in the league. The Matthew Joseph is one that comes to mind, and guys like that, where they would get their NHL debut at Tampa, and then go to be traded somewhere else. The Hagel trade is a good example of that, and it's fascinating to see, from an outsider's perspective, how this is still going after Yzerman, right? Because that was a big question of, okay, what's next? And Julien Brisebois seems to be stepping up there.
He definitely, he learned that model. I mean, he have a kind of have phases. I think when Yzerman was here, he was big on building up the assets, building up the, he was a guy who was like, I'll trade this guy for a couple picks or a young player. And then you make that transition, and okay, we have the pieces now. Now we got to fill it out with the veterans. And Brisebois kind of took the one more step after Yzerman left. And for my GMs, I want them to be a little cold-hearted, if you will, because I think the thing that kills Stanley Cup windows more than anything is nostalgia. And the Lightning could have re-signed Andre Palat. They could have re-signed Alex Kilorn. Like two players who are absolutely beloved by this franchise and the fan base. But he's like, you know what? If I do that, it's not gonna make us a better team. Yes, they're really good players, and yes, they can still produce, but what I'm gonna have to get rid of in order to afford what they got paid isn't gonna help our team out. And every time he's on the podium, Brisebois says, my job is to give this team the best chance on the ice right now to win the Stanley Cup. So that's why he trades four draft picks and a defenseman for Tanner Janot. That's why he gave up Boris Kachuk and Taylor Radish for Brandon Hagel, and then what, two first round picks. So yeah, I don't, if your GM's like, well, hey man, everybody really likes this guy, I got to keep him around. And the same thing could happen to Stamkos, honestly. At the end of the day, Stamkos may say, this is what I want, I'm not taking any less. And I think Brisebois is the guy who'll be like, okay, you know what? Thank you for everything. We're gonna have a very nice, ceremony when you come back to play with your new team. And we're gonna, retire your number when you retire. But, thanks. Have a great day. We'll find somebody else. So, nobody wants to see that, but I think you kind of need a GM that can do that,
Yeah.
So He's just signing guys because everybody likes him, then enjoy being fighting for a wild card spot or playing golf in the summer. So
If Stamkos wants to leave, he can join Tampa Bay Legends, Martin St. Louis and Vinny Lecavalier in Montreal.
yeah, exactly. Oh God,
And
it
every
took you
time
guys
Tampa.
what, 2 decades when you finally got Lecavalier in Montreal.
Yeah, exactly. All it took was hiring, his brother's coworker and getting him involved, his former agent. But yeah, it's funny because I always think of the Branch Rickey quote. It's better to get rid of a player a year too early than a year too late. And I think that that's kind of the model that they're going with. It's like, listen, this guy is still good, but this is the time that we have to do it. We can't sign him and then try and get rid of him. And things like that. And that's being proactive is so important with that. But yeah, it's always funny to see the connections between the Canadians and the Lightning, because it's not only Le Cavalier and Saint Louis, but there's a certain AHL coach in Syracuse right now that has ties to the Canadiens organization as well as Joel Bouchard. And it's always fascinating to see that they kind of coexist. And then just when you thought the Syracuse rivalry was tempering down a bit, it's I think it'll be back in a vengeance this year. That first game in Syracuse, I think they play in Syracuse first, is gonna be very interesting, I think, because Bouchard didn't leave on the greatest of terms, and obviously the people who were involved back in that decision are no longer with the organization. But yeah, it's still a lot of emotion, and
Yeah, you still want to stick it to the team, though. I
right,
mean, even, like I said, even if
exactly.
the guys who did it aren't there, it's like, yeah, well, you know what? I could still be there, but no, I'm having fun in Syracuse now. So,
Yeah,
you know.
exactly. It'll be very, very interesting. Obviously, when he was in San Diego, it wasn't very
Yeah.
close. There wasn't very much rivalry, but now it's gonna be a little bit different. And obviously, stepping in for another guy that has always been linked to coaching openings in Montreal is
Right.
Benoit Gru. So yeah, it's always funny how geographically these two teams are not very close, but there's always these intersections of there's the whole Corey Perry thing. There's a bunch of these little. Obviously, the Sergachev trade. There's a lot of those little instances where it's like, oh, there is that rivalry. It's there is that rivalry, and obviously those playoff meetings in the middle of the 2010s, I think back to back years, played into that as well. But yeah, it was funny because last year, we had Dave Randorf on to talk about the Lightning, and he's like. When the Lightning when the Canadians come to Tampa, there's going to be a special event, and that sat in my head. And I'm like, and then they unveiled the Hall of Fame, and I'm like, oh, that's what that's
Yeah,
going to
it's and it was kind of funny because when they announced that they were going to do the Hall of Fame, you kind of look and they're like, oh yeah, we're going to do it a weekend in March, and then you kind of
be.
look at that weekend and you're like, okay, they got a couple of days off afterwards. Marty's going to be in town. Vinny still spends a lot of time down here. Yeah, I have a feeling that's going to be the weekend where all the festivities. And then this year, I think right around the same time, Philly's in town. So as much as John Tortorella would probably hate to be named into a Hall of Fame of anything, especially during a season, I have a feeling it may happen that weekend too. So it'll be interesting to see if he partakes in any kind of ceremonies if they do that. So, but yeah, it's yeah the time like I God, I remember like the Darcy Tucker trade, things like that, all the way back then. Yeah, the Lightning gonna get this great young two-way agitating forward and Tucker, and oh yeah, and then of course. Like I alluded to earlier, spent the entire 2000s hearing about Vitty getting traded to Montreal every deadline. So,
I remember when the All-Star game was here, so probably 2009, I think it probably was. There was like the fan fest, and they had like all these vendors, and I recall there was a number four jersey of Le Cavalier on the back hanging up, and yeah, I mean, oh, and there's always always the Brian Lawton the Brian Lawton trade that never happened, that doesn't make sense, and couldn't have made sense. And oh yeah, it was Price and Subban, and
It was like Price, Subban, and one other player for Stamkos, and yeah, it was got nixed by the league or got nixed by the ownership. And
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's just what always fun when that comes up. But yeah, it's thank you so much for taking the time. I know that we make fun of Tampa, but I think deep down I think every team wants to be Tampa. And if they don't want to be Tampa, they're lying, right? So it's one of those things where if you go back 20, 25 years, Tampa wanted to be that team too. So it's just it's always interesting, but yeah, it's this division is going to be a bloodbath for the next 5 years, I think.
Oh, yeah,
I
definitely.
it's going to be a lot of fun, and I think the playoff format is if it stays the same, it's going to be even more intense than it might be now, because the windows are not closing anywhere really. Justin, thank you so much for taking the time. Good luck with Raw Charge,
Thank you.
and everything that comes with being newly independent and with
Yes,
four
sorry,
hockey
and a
fans,
new
and
network and
yeah,
yeah, figuring
exactly,
this
new
stuff
network,
out,
and
so
yeah, exactly. So best of luck and enjoy the season.
you too. Yep.
Thanks.
Have a good one. Thank you for everything.